Amen. Good morning. Good morning. What a joy it is to once again be in a land of the living. And we thank God for this day. I want to invite your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to begin reading it, verse 18, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. This is what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife. And he did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach for a few moments from the sermonic theme, Joseph, the prisoner of hope. Joseph, the prisoner of hope. What are you a prisoner of? I'm not looking for you to raise your hand. Someone said, that's good. And it is good. Because all of us are prisoner to something. Some of us are prisoners to unforgiveness. Some of us are prisoners to lust. Some of us are prisoners to sweets. Lord Jesus, help me. Some of us are prisoners to a lot of screen time, a lot of FaceTime with this stuff, this technology that we have. You can become a prisoner to it. What are you a prisoner to? Those three little words show up in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. And it says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. That's where I got this prisoner of hope thing. And the more I looked at the life of Joseph, I could not help conclude that this was a man who was a prisoner of hope. He does not say a whole lot. But his actions speak volumes. The world's hope is shaky at best, unpredictable. You cannot put a whole lot of confidence and faith in man's hope. Can't do it. But the believer's hope, That's something different. Because the believer's hope is based solely upon our relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on the promises and the word of God, that God's word will be fulfilled and that I can trust what God says because God is faithful. And what God has said, that he will achieve. I hope the Ravens make it to the Super Bowl. They may not. I hope I get this promotion. See how our hopes are so tenuous. But when the word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's something I can put my hope in. I can put my hope in the word of God. I can put my hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are things that give me hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He says two things. First of all, he says, our hope is in God. It's nothing that you and I have to try and manufacture. Our hope is in him and his finished work on Calvary. That gives us hope, our risen Savior. And I love it because then he says that you may abound. He's not cheap with it. That you may abound. It says in joy and peace. That's what we have as believers. Joy and peace as a result of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the happiest people in the world should be those of us who know the Redeemer, those of us who are saved. Think about it. Unlimited joy and hope available to us. An inexhaustible supply. So why is it that we look so crestfallen? Why is it that we look so hopeless? Is it because we don't believe what the Holy Writ says? Lord, give me a heart and mind to be accepting to what your word says, that I might be one who demonstrates and who manifests hope because of what you have done for me, that you have saved my soul. I was headed to hell, but you redeemed me. We can handle anything through the hope we have in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you're going through. See, some of us fall for the bait of the enemy, which has you believing that you can't do certain things. But I can do all things through Christ. I read that somewhere. That strengthens me. So I ought to have that hope resonating in me. I ought to have a smile on my face, not all of the time, but most of the time. I know we have some bad days. I got that. But people ought to see some semblance of hope simply because you're there. You have this countenance about you. They can't always explain it, but they know it when they see it, and they want to be near it. Prisoner of hope. I've worked with some prisoners for a long time, and I'm always amazed at the level of intensity that they have when it comes to our Lord and Savior. There's nothing like seeing someone who was headed to hell in the fast lane get saved by Christ in prison. And I'm not saying you have to go to prison to get saved, but there's something about being broken and the renewed hope that you have once you develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to talk about some folk that know how to worship God? Oh, my God. Because they know what Christ has done for them and is doing and has yet to do. And they have this sense of hope that they almost can't contain. And some of these brothers and sisters are going to be in there for a long time. Hope. What they're telling me is that my conditions and circumstances ought not be an indicator of my level of hope. In other words, my situation should not control my hope indicator. Yes, things are going bad, but guess what? My hope indicator is full. Things are not going the way I'd like, but my hope indicator is full because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me move, because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about how folks were in the world, broken from the covenant of God and their relationship with God, and they knew not God. And it says, in the world, they knew not God. How sad. You and I every day run up against people who are like those folks who were in Ephesus. They were in the world, but they did not know the Lord. That's why one of the greatest things you and I can do is share this gospel with those who are lost and don't know our Savior, who have no hope. Because we're living in a time where so many folks are hopeless. And you and I have exactly what they need, and that is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know for my introverts, that's going to be tough. Because that's just, they don't roll that way. So make your life an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus. If you're not going to say anything, say it through your deeds and actions. Then they'll begin to wonder, what is it about him or her? So, how is it that this brother was able to have this level of hope given what he was facing? And I want to put this out here because I would hope that in 2019, if you're not already, that you become a prisoner of hope. You know why? Because some of you and some of us have gone through some things in 2018. It was a rough year for some of us. Some of us had it tough. And some of us can't wait until 19 comes. But guess what? 19 gonna have something for you too. So I want to make sure that I'm girded and that I am a prisoner of hope as I look at this brand new year, because I know that there's some stuff I'm going to have to run up against, and it's going to be nothing but the hope that I have in Christ Jesus that will sustain me. Here's my first point. Prisoners of hope know how to persevere in the face of adversity. Prisoners of hope know how to persevere in the face of adversity. Preacher, where you get that from? I'm glad you asked. It says now in verse 18, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. That's adversity. That's drama. That word betrothed, it's stronger than that. It really means that they were technically married. They had been separated for some time. And now, Joseph, I need to talk to you. Have a seat. What I'm about to say, I had a hard time understanding it, so I know this ain't going to be easy for you. That's Nick's version. But I'm just saying that this was not an easy thing. He had to then make a decision. What am I going to do? How do you behave, my brothers and my sisters, when adversity shows up at your door? How do you behave? What is your thinking when something happens that you know we're not expecting? Have you ever been blindsided by something? I mean, it just knocked you off your feet. You did not see it coming. Now, some of us get up and we start cussing and fussing, and we still know some certain words that we can draw on every now and then if we have to. I know y'all don't do that, but every now and then, your language gets a little colorful when things don't go right. But when you look at the text, we see nowhere that he got into a funk. He did not cut and run when she shared this heartbreaking news with him. I'm learning like you that sometimes God has to take me through something in order for me and you to be better used by him. Okay, You're looking at me like you don't believe. Isaiah 30 and 20 says, the law will give joy, will give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction. The Lord will give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction. Sometimes we have to face and go through adversity. The issue is, how do we choose to behave when it shows up? Joseph took the high road. And I want to ask you, how do you behave when it doesn't go according to plan, when things get out of kilter? Do you say to yourself, you know what? The Lord has allowed this, so I have to believe that he knew I could handle this and that he will be glorified once I go through this, because he always knows what he's doing. And because I'm his child, he has the right to allow anything into my life that he wants to. I do know, however, that I have a covenant with him and I'm his child. Therefore, whatever he allows to happen, he's going to care for me in it and through it. How do you handle it? He didn't lose heart. He persevered. That quality to allow someone to continue trying to do something, even though it's difficult. He had courage, the ability to control fear and be willing to deal with something unpleasant. What an example for us. How to handle setbacks. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'm reminded of that nameless woman who had an issue of blood, hemorrhaging for about 15 years. Spent all her money trying to get well. And then she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says she came up and around and touched the hem of his garment. And that very hour, she was made well. She persevered. She was courageous. She did not give up. And beloved, sometimes you have to persevere and be courageous for a long time. We live in a culture of, well, if it ain't going right, I'm quitting. The devil is a liar. God ain't nowhere in that. W.C. Fields say, if first you don't succeed, try again. And then he said, quit. No use being a fool about it. Scripture don't say that. We stick and stay with Jesus, trusting and believing that he knows what's best concerning that and pertaining to me. So what's the application? Well, when you have to face adversity, face it courageously. Stay the course. Prisoners of hope don't make rash decisions. Notice how he didn't make a rash decision. He waited. Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Sometime during that season of adversity, I need to wait and say, Lord, what's the next move? And during that time, I have to learn to hold on to everything that I know about him. When adversity comes, I've got to hold on to everything that I know about him, that he has shared with me in the book, because that will empower us to get through. Second thing is, prisoners of hope know how to show mercy to others. In verse 19, it says that, then Joseph, her husband, being a just He was a just man, a righteous man, a man who strived to do that which was right in the face of God. Not a man who never made mistakes, but his idea was, his heart was bent up toward doing that which was pleasing to God. Just man. His character remained intact even though things did not go well. Let me ask you, I'm just throwing it out there. How does your character hold up when it doesn't go right? How's your character? I mean, just, righteous. When things didn't go right, guess what he was? Just and righteous. He didn't fly off the handle, but he was just and righteous. Because see, this was bad news for Mary. This was his wife, which meant that she could have been stoned. She could have been shamed. She would have maybe been relegated to prostitution or cleaning someone's house. But he was concerned about how she was going to be impacted. In other words, he put her before himself. That was his character. Can you imagine the buzz around town? Ain't had no TMZ and all that, but you know that there was much conversation. Child, you know what's happening over there with Joseph and Mary. He hadn't he been gone for a while? And now she's in a family way? What? He was concerned about her. And the challenge to my character is, how can I make sure that I reflect the character of Christ when things don't go right? That's what he did. He reflected the character of God. Isn't that wonderful? To have that level of character that even when it doesn't go right, I'm going to behave in a way that honors him. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In other words, when I show that mercy to someone else, guess what? It's a boomerang effect. It has a way of coming back to us. Now, I begin to try to figure out what was Joseph, many say, was considerably older than Mary. Some would argue, well, he's had more opportunity to mess up. So he knew, and it's conjecture, but somehow along the line, being older, he knew something about the mercy of God. He perhaps has experienced it enough to know that God is faithful. When I extend mercy, it has a way of coming back to me. Perhaps that was his motivation. I'm not sure, but we do know that he extended mercy to her. Bill McCartney was the coach at the University of Colorado, had one of the most successful programs in 1994, he abruptly quit. And then he became director of Promise Keepers, men's ministry nationwide. His wife, Lindy, just didn't fit well with her. Because for most of their marriage, she's been settled with raising the children while he's gallivanting practices and traveling. And now you mean to tell me you're going to run a national ministry? Which means I now have to compete with that. And she became very bitter with her husband. Very bitter. She said, in 1994, I forgave him. And then something happened. She said, but slowly, that feeling began to dissipate. And she said, I finally came to the conclusion that I was now forgiving him like God forgives. See, at first I was expecting him to change, but he didn't. But after time, That feeling of bitterness began to dissipate. And I began to forgive him as God had forgiven me, because God forgave me with no strings attached. Joseph forgave Mary with no strings attached. Let me ask you, is there somebody that you need to get right with? I'm talking about prisoners of hope. Now, if you're not a prisoner of hope, this really doesn't apply to you. But if you are one who aims to be a prisoner of hope, as we look at this Christmas season and hope, is there perhaps someone that you need to get right with? And use this example of Joseph, who showed mercy to Mary when it had been so easy to do differently. So, sometimes, I tell you, it's following God is not always easy. It's just, and prisoners of hope have learned that when I extend that mercy, that God is glorified. See, at the end of the day, I want him to get the credit for what happens. Because if it was left up to us, we would still be angry and upset. But God is glorified when we demonstrate mercy toward others. And that's what he did. He extended mercy. I like the way Jesus did that when they took him up on that hill called Calvary, and they hung him high and stretched him wide. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They knew exactly. But mercy was extended so that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And he took one of the thieves on his back as they went in. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Last thing is this. Prisoners of hope follow God's instructions even when it's difficult. Joseph honored God through his obedience. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. He did exactly as the Lord had commanded him to do. Keep in mind, there's no dialogue. He's not saying anything. Some of us would have had 50 questions. "Well, don't you think if we did it, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your, as the heavens are high above the..." Amazing. He just obedient. I begin to wonder what must have went through his mind. Maybe he was thinking about when God said, "Joseph, don't be afraid." Maybe that's what made him say, "Lord, no problem, I'll do it." Maybe there was some assurance that he had when the Lord said, "Don't be afraid." And listen, God is still telling us that today. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. You can be obedient and trust me on this. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the hand of my righteousness." That's good news. That when he tells me to do something, I can trust, because he's told me in his word, "Don't fear, I got you with this." What is it that we're not doing because we're afraid? But Joseph went on, and he he went on and he did this thing. And then it gets better. He says, Joseph, now he's also going to forgive my people of their sins. So he said, don't be afraid. He's coming because he's going to forgive people of their sins. Boy, his head is probably about to explode now. And he says, listen, prophecy is being fulfilled. Joseph, do you know what's happening here? And then he just knocks it out of the park. He says, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's a whole lot to take in for someone trying to figure this thing out. But he had enough God in him to say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Prisoners of hope learn to submit to what God has called us to do. But you know what? It was read a little earlier. It's more to this thing than just being obedient to God, yes. But there's a bigger picture because, see, he was now going to be a witness to others to what happens when you trust God. Others were going to be able to see through his behavior and actions. He's trusting God on this, huh? I don't know if I would do that if I was him. You know, that's the scuttlebutt that was probably, but he, this was going to be a witness for others. When you and I show hope, when we demonstrate hope, it has a sneaky way of wooing some people in because maybe they're curious about this hope that we have. Scripture says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you. We should always be ready to say, this is what I know. Now, I don't know the whole Bible, but I do know that God is good. I do know that God has forgiven me of my sins. I do know that God is a God of another chance. I do know that God loves me with an everlasting love. I know that God sent his son Jesus to die for my sins that I might be redeemed. I know that once I die, I'm going to be seated in glory with him. I do know that my works will follow me, that what I do here, I will one day present to him when I'm there. That's what I know. Just tell them what you know. Doesn't have to be out of reach. You know enough by now to be able to let somebody know something. Edward Mote. He was a carpenter turned preacher in England. And he wrote a song, and many of you probably already know it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All over the ground is sinking sand. And then verse 2, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Become a prisoner of hope if you're not already one. And stand on Christ, his word, his promises, and see the impact you begin to have on the lives of others when they see the hope of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. And I pray, Lord, that we might continue to be prisoners of hope, that others might see the hope of Christ in us. We're grateful that you are truly the source of our hope. Your promises are true. Your promises give us reason to strive to walk even closer with you. We pray for that person here today who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin. And we pray, Lord, that this might be a day of decision. They would make up their mind to follow you, to trust you, to become one of your disciples. We ask all of this now in the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.